It's already shaping up to be a busy political week as Republicans navigate the fallout from controversial remarks made by former President Trump at a fundraiser over the weekend. Meanwhile, 6 months out from the election, President Biden continues to deal with a jaded electorate as he wrestles with the political ramifications of the war in Gaza. Following this all closely is our Politics Monday duo, Amy Walter of the Cook Political Report with Amy Walter and Tamara Keith of NPR. So nice to see you both. Happy Monday. 6 months out, as I just mentioned, from this election, this weekend, Donald Trump was at this campaign event, and he made these comments where he basically equated the Biden White House with the Nazis, saying that they are running a, quote, Gestapo administration. Now, this is obviously, Amy, just the latest in a long history of Trump saying things like this. But one of his fellow Republicans, one who's vying to be the number two on the Trump ticket, North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, came out and defended Donald Trump. Here's what he had to say.
A majority of Americans feel like the trial that he's in right now is politically motivated. And if it was anybody else, this trial wouldn't even be happening. So I understand that he feels like that he's being unfairly treated.
So feeling like a trial is unfair is equivalent to being part of the Nazi secret police.
Well, first, let's talk about that the majority of Americans, as the governor said right there, feel that this is unfair, which, according to the most recent poll, the NPR PBS Marist poll, that is not true. 54% in that poll thought that it's fair. Now, 46% think it's unfair. So there are a lot of people who think the way that the North Dakota governor does. But if we think that this candidate, Trump, or a Trump 2.0 president is going to look any different than the candidate we've known since 2016 or the person who was president for 4 years, you're going to be sorely mistaken. This is the reality of this is just who Donald Trump is, how he's going to operate, how he is going to speak and behave. What we are seeing as well, as you pointed out, Doug Burgum on reportedly on the short list to be a vice presidential candidate, is that loyalty to Donald Trump is always important. I think in a Trump 2.0, it will be very, very top priority in picking who is around him. And so when we talk about, well, what are the constraints or what are the restraints or the guardrails around a Trump presidency for things that he says or does? Who's going to maybe rein him in, stand up and say no in the way that the vice president Mike Pence did? These folks are not saying that
I won't do that.
I'm pretty good with the way that Trump is going to operate.
Right now, we are in the audition phase of the vice presidential pick contest, or you know, like an episode of The Bachelor or something. They had this event in Palm Beach. They brought all of these candidates, potential vice presidential picks in, and then many of them went out on the Sunday shows. And what they had to do was show their loyalty to former President Trump. He, as Amy said, he does not want another vice president who will be loyal to him only up until when it matters and when the Constitution is on the line. He wants someone who will go out there and prove and tie themselves in knots, like Senator Tim Scott did on Meet the Press, just tie themselves in knots to stick with the reality that is Trump's reality, even if it is not true.
Let's take a look at what Tim Scott had to say, because he was asked about, will you accept the election results regardless of who wins? Here's what he had to say.
Well, Senator, will you commit to accepting the election results of 2024, bottom line?
At the end of the day, the 47th president of the United States will be President Donald Trump, and I'm excited to give back to low inflation, low unemployment.
Wait, Senator, yes or no, will you accept the election results of 2024 no matter who wins?
That is my statement.
I mean, Kristen Welker went back and forth about this multiple times.
And this is relevant because former President Trump is still denying the results of the last election. He is going to Wisconsin and Michigan and saying, oh, no, I actually won here, when he didn't. So it's entirely relevant whether you will accept the results of the 2024 election. He has also said in that Time magazine interview that it came out last week that, he doesn't think that there will be violence or any issues as long as the election is fair. But at the same time, he is saying that the last election, which was fair, wasn't.
Fair meaning I won.
Generally speaking, yeah.
Amy, meanwhile, Biden has got polling that again showing not great news for his campaign. We want to put up this graphic here. Majority of the U.S. adults, 54%, disapprove of Biden's performance. That is a 3% jump since March. Now, that's within the margin of error, but it is his worst rating since 2019. I mean, how panicked should that campaign be?
Well, he is deeply unpopular, but he's not that much more unpopular than Donald Trump is. And the poll that you're citing, are the Marist poll, so Donald Trump's overall approval rating is 42%, the president being at 40%. Where we sit right now is really fascinating. It feels like this campaign has been going on for about 100 years, because it basically has. We're rerunning 2020.
You both look great for 100-year-old
people. Thank you. Appreciate that. The focus right now is on Joe Biden. He's the president now. Obviously, 4 years ago, it was Donald Trump. If the question is, should we go, which president do you think did a better job in his first term? Right now, Trump is winning that argument. And you see in poll after poll, when they ask questions about who you think did a better job on the economy? Whose policies do you think have helped you the most, Biden or Trump? Trump is beating Biden on those metrics. But if you talk about a campaign which is about the future, that's the conversation that we haven't really gotten into yet. And that's why you saw even the Tim Scott interview, you hear the surrogates as well as Donald Trump talk a lot about, remember back in the days, let's bring us back to those days of 4 years ago when the economy was great and inflation was low. So remember how great those times were. It's up to the Biden campaign to make the case that, not so much to fight about whether those times were great, but to talk about the next 4 years and what an administration of Biden's would look like and his policies, and compare them to Donald Trump's.
Which is why the Biden campaign continues to highlight all of the things that Trump says, like the Gestapo comments and everything else that he has said, while also really trying to amplify what he is saying he would do.
That's right.
And in particular on abortion rights, where he is trying not to say what he would do, and on any number of policy matters. You know, in that Time magazine interview again, where he talked about wanting to round up migrants.
Deploy the military inside the U.S.
Yes. And then he was asked, well, but the military being used on civilians? And he said, oh, no, they're not civilians, which is a pretty significant departure from norms.
Right.
Yeah. And the case hasn't really been prosecuted yet.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, we are still, it feels like either 6 months you think is a long time from now or a very short time from now. I tend to think of it as a short time. I think most normal voters think, well, we're a long way away from the election.
So they just haven't dialed in yet.
Yeah, and both candidates soon enough will be on the airwaves making their case to voters. Theoretically, there will be debates between these candidates where the differences between the two will become more of the conversation.
Theoretically, on those debates. Amy Walter, Tamara Keith, so nice to see you both. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, William.